From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Communities in Chicago and beyond are still feeling the presence of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, agents, along with Customs and Border Protection. Beyond the arrests, residents have reported military-style raids, tear gassing, and more. As we talked about Monday, state and local elected officials have been on the ground warning people about the operations. Some of them have followed agents in their vehicles and then had their own encounters because of that, including last week, State Representative Han Nguyen. Representative Nguyen was following an unmarked federal vehicle and says Border Patrol agents surrounded his car and one even pointed a gun at him.
I'm State Representative Han Nguyen. I'm State Representative Han Nguyen.
These guys are telling us to stop following.
I'm State Representative Han Nguyen.
They're U.S. Customs and Border Patrol.
I'm State Representative Han
Nguyen. There's three agents behind us. Why is my window not working?
I'm State Representative Han Nguyen.
Somehow they're able to open my windows. These people are, there's three officers in front of us, three officers behind us.
I'm State Representative Han Nguyen.
Representative Nguyen has served as state representative for the 13th District since 2023, an area which includes the north side Chicago neighborhoods of Uptown, Ravenswood, Wrigleyville, Lincoln Square, and Andersonville, among others. He's also one of more than a dozen candidates running in the Democratic primary next year to succeed Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky in Illinois' 9th District. He joins me now to talk about what he's witnessed and experienced. Representative Han Nguyen, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you so much, Brian, for having me here today. And thank you so much for bringing light to what's happening right now in Chicago and in Illinois, particularly with the ICE raids and the immigration raids on our neighborhoods.
Yeah, let's get into it. Before that, I do want to mention to our listeners, in order to make our schedules meet, we taped our conversation Tuesday afternoon, so we're not taking calls for this part of the show, but you can always let us know what you thought. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org. All right, Representative Nguyen, talk us through what you have been seeing on the ground in Chicago.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've been seeing a series of ICE raids, of ICE presence in all of our neighborhoods these last several months in Chicago since the administration announced their Operation Midway Blitz. I think certainly we have been really hearing from our neighbors the fear that they're in right now. And we've been really trying to make sure that we get the Know Your Rights training and Know Your Rights information out to our neighbors to make sure that they can protect themselves at this moment in time.
What effect is that having on the communities you represent?
Yeah, you know, I represent a very diverse immigrant and refugee community here on the North Side Lakefront. We speak more than 100 different languages. I myself am also a refugee as well from Vietnam. And so right now, a lot of folks are deeply scared to go outside their homes, to go to work, to go to school, to go to their small businesses. And so there has been a level of fear that folks have felt right now and a high level of alert as well. So we've been really trying to make sure that we inform their neighbors of their rights when interacting with ICE agents. And we've been really trying to make sure that folks know the salute method as well in order to record ICE agents and ICE presence in our neighborhoods as well.
Salute method, what does that mean?
Yeah, so the salute method literally allows for folks to understand when they're filming individuals who are ICE agents, you know, what do they need to identify in that? S stands for the size of the ICE agent. So in the video, you want to document, you know, how many officers there are. A stands for the activity. What are they doing at the current time in which the ICE presence is in the neighborhood? L stands for the location. What location are they at? So it kind of gives you the intersection of where they're at. U stands for uniform. What exactly are they wearing? You know, how are they distinguished? T stands for time and location of where the incident occurred. And E stands for equipment, any other equipment that they're using. But this method called salute allows for people who are bystanders, folks who are recording ICE agents and ICE presence to really document that information and get that information to a hotline that allows for the rapid response team to really come out there and see how we can provide further assistance for our neighbors in need at the time.
You know, a lot of people, I should say a lot of the time, the job of state representative involves, you know, going to long committee meetings and budget hearings and trying to understand state law and state policy. What role do you feel like you and your fellow elected officials have to play in what's happening right now in Illinois?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think for me, as someone who is a refugee from Vietnam, this country fought for me to have an opportunity. And you know, my family and I lived under an authoritarian regime in Vietnam. My family were on a list to be killed by the regime that took over, and we fled this regime that used violence and fear to control its people. And when we arrived to the United States, you know, we arrived here with nothing. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any connection. Just really the belief that in America you have due process and there is freedom from fear. And so for me, it's really making sure that is still the case in this country. And so that's why, as a state representative in Chicago, it's my job to protect our constituents and our neighbors from the fear that has happened in our neighborhoods, and also making sure that folks here have due process as well.
So let's go back to that morning. What are you doing out and about on the north side that day?
So last week on Tuesday, October 21st, we were conducting Know Your Rights training with our small businesses. So we had a training at a location, and then we also went outdoor to door as well, making sure that small businesses knew their rights when they're interacting with ICE agents. So knowing their rights to remain silent, knowing their rights to an attorney, knowing their rights to not sign any documentation that they did not understand. So while we were out getting the information out to our neighbors, we received a tip from the Rapid Response Network, of which I'm a part of. And we found out that a landscaper was taken, was abducted by ICE agents in our neighborhood. So our first thought was to make sure that we go to the location of where this happened and provide further assistance for this individual. And once we got there, we noticed that the ICE agents were driving around in our neighborhoods looking for individuals to pick up. And they were doing this in a way that, again, seems to be very racially profiling. And so at one point, we followed them, making sure that we were informing our neighbors of their rights, making sure that they knew that there was ICE presence in the neighborhood. And at one point, we were sandwiched in between two ICE cars, and we were surrounded by six armed CBD, Custom Border Protection agents, one of which then went to the passenger side of the car, of which I was in, and pull a gun to my face, to the window, and pointed it at my face and the face of my colleague. And then at one point, they even attempted and yelled that they're going to smash in the car windows as well.
So that moment, there was a somebody was recording video. I don't know if that was you or your colleague in the car that day. That moment was not captured, though. Was the gun sort of out of the holster? Was it directly pointed at you? Did you feel in danger?
Yeah, so at the moment, you know, it happened very quickly when they sandwiched us in. We were actually also not aware that there was a car that was following us from behind. So when the ICE agent popped up, it was actually someone from behind, from one of the cars behind, that came up, and he put the gun directly to the window of the car. So it happened very quickly. There was really no time for us to react and have the camera ready for that moment. I think for myself, as well as someone who is a person of color, a minority, I knew not to make any sudden movements with my hands when it came to, you know, pulling out my camera from my pocket. So all I really did was really raise my hands up in the air and really try to identify myself when they asked me to identify myself, and identify myself as a state representative. And that's also when my colleague, who was in the driver's side, was able to pull out his phone and record the incident. But we were unable to capture the gun that was pulled at the very beginning, nor the incident in which they said that they were going to bash in the windows as well.
So, what is going through your mind at this moment?
Yeah, it was a very scary time. I mean, I think any time when you have a gun pulled to your face, you know, there's a lot of adrenaline that goes through your body, and you know, I think there was definitely a sense of fear. And at the same time, I think, you know, we did what they asked us to do. We identify ourselves. I identify myself as a state representative, My colleague was also recording and was narrating what was happening at the time as well, and to make sure that folks knew what was happening to us at the time, because we were also part of the Rapid Response Network. And I think for us, you know, these ICE agents, you know, really try to use political intimidation and violence to really put fear inside us. And, you know, myself and my colleague, we follow all the laws and the safety protocols. We kept our hands visible. We clearly identify ourselves. We were unarmed. And, you know, this was part of also a well-established nonviolence rapid response practice that has been ongoing throughout our city and throughout our state. So eventually, you know, they also attempted forced entry of the car. That did not happen. But then they also let us go without charges when they acknowledged and saw that, you know, I think they took a picture of me and a picture of my colleague. I think they ran us through some sort of software. And when they saw that we I was an elected official, I think that's where they let us go.
I know you've heard this before, but I want to make sure our listeners are aware of what the Department of Homeland Security had to say about what happened. They released a statement that said Representative Nguyen was stopped not once but twice for stalking law enforcement and attempting to interfere with operations. They said he was given a warning the first time he was stopped. He ignored that warning, forcing agents to get out of their car a second time to assess if he was a threat. This behavior is unbecoming of a public servant and is just another example of sanctuary politicians putting our officers at risk. End quote. What do you say to that?
I would say that the statement is not just false, but it is an attempt to distract from the real danger, which is a CBP agent pull a gun on someone who posed no threat to them, whose only weapon was a voice and a car horn. And I think if they want folks to know the truth, they should release the body cam footage of the officer pointing the gun at my head. And, you know, I was nonviolent at the time. I follow all the laws. I clearly identify myself and kept my hands visible. But at the same time, these federal agents surround my vehicle. They pointed a loaded gun to the window. They tried to smash their way into the car, all because, you know, we were protecting our neighbors from aggressive, unlawful enforcement tactics. And I say the other thing is informing the public and documenting ICE presence is not stalking law enforcement, you know. And I think their attempt right now to twist the lawful community actions that we had into a threat is part of their disturbing pattern of criminalizing dissent and punishing civic engagement. And I think they want to turn our resistance in Chicago into a crime and want us to look away while they violate the due process of every single person in the city and in the state. So I think that should really terrify every single American right now across this country.
Look, there are clearly a lot of people in Chicago who think these raids are certainly immoral or unjust the way they're being carried out. But just to sort of play devil's advocate here, right? Standing on the side of the road, filming is one thing, blowing a whistle is another. Actually, following agents in a vehicle, though, some people might say, you know what, we wouldn't allow that if you were to start following a Chicago police officer doing traffic enforcement or state police or something like that. Why, in your view, is that an acceptable sort of tactic as you've described it here?
Look, you know, this is a part of the community-based rapid response efforts. It's lawful. I think certainly when we see agents come into our streets, when they're wearing masks, not identifying themselves, who they are, who they work for, what agency they're part of, when they are walking around our neighborhoods with guns, with rifles, with pistols, with military tactics and military tactical gear. And when they're driving in unmarked vehicles as well, I would say that they're the aggressor. They're the ones engaging in unlawful enforcement tactics. They're the ones throwing tear gas down streets where there are Halloween parades happening with little kids, right? So I think when we think about the actions that they have done, the terrorism that they've committed and they have posed onto our neighbors in Chicago and across the state, I would say that they're the ones following and conducting these unlawful, aggressive behavior versus us, who is, again, we don't have any weapons. We are only recording what they're doing. And if what they're doing is actually legal, then they should not be afraid for it to be documented. So I think there is a thing to be said there about what they're doing down in Chicago and how they're enforcing their policies.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. We are talking with State Representative Han Nguyen, who represents Illinois' 13th District, the north side of Chicago. He's also one of the many candidates seeking to succeed Jan Schakowsky in the 9th Congressional District. We'll have more with Representative Nguyen after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st Show comes from the Des Moines Arts Center, presenting Manuel Alvarez Bravo, a pioneer of Mexican photography, featuring collaborators like Frida Kahlo, Diego Rivera, and more. On view through January 18th. More information at DesMoinesArtsCenter.org.
It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Let's get back to my conversation with State Representative Han Nguyen. He represents Illinois' 13th District in the State House of Representatives. He's also one of the many candidates in the Democratic primary to succeed Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky in the state's 9th District. We are talking about his experiences in Chicago as ICE enforcement operations continue. Last week, a Border Patrol agent allegedly pointed a gun at him while he was on the north side, informing residents about ICE operations in the area. I spoke with Representative Nguyen Tuesday afternoon in order to accommodate his schedule. Because of that, no calls for this part of the program, but you can always let us know what you thought. Our email address, talk@21stshow.org. Earlier, you talked about your family coming to America, fleeing what you described as an authoritarian regime in Vietnam. I wonder how this experience in particular, and just what you've seen more broadly in Illinois in the past month or so, or even in the past 9 months, how has that affected how you think about America?
You know, this country, when my family and I first came over here as refugees, we received political asylum from the United States after my grandparents died during the war. My father spent 5 years in a prison camp in that war, fighting for freedom, democracy, and human rights. My mother's village was burned down during that war. And we came over here as refugees. And we believed this country was a land of opportunity. It was a country that gave us a chance. And while my mom worked in a factory for 14 hours a day with an eighth grade education, I was given a chance to succeed in our public school system, and then eventually went on to college at Yale undergrad and then Harvard for graduate school, and then came back to Chicago to work in community investments and community development. And I believe that is the promise of this country, the idea that a refugee kid can come here with nothing and can grow up to serve his country. And I think we have to keep fighting for this country's promise for all of us, for our kids, for our grandkids, for every single person right now. No matter where you come from, your zip code, that you deserve a fair shot in this country, that you deserve the American ideals of freedom, of human rights, of democracy. And I believe its better days are still ahead. So I think we must fight for its better days, and we must fight for this country and for all of its people. And that's also why I'm running for Congress right now, is to make sure we continue that fight in Washington and to make sure we restore the American promise for all of us. So I am very optimistic still about the future of this country and that its better days are still ahead. But democracy is fragile, and democracy has to be fought, and we have to fight for it. And so that is why we are here today and every day, making sure that we fight for all of us to have a chance to succeed in this country.
You know, the Trump administration is working to change the American refugee system. I guess if you're a white South African or a European who objects to your country's immigration policies, you'll be able to get in, but not many other people. I'm going to read just a little bit from the executive order. It says the United States lacks the ability to absorb large numbers of migrants, and in particular refugees, into its communities in a manner that does not compromise the availability of resources for Americans, that protects their safety and security, and that ensures the appropriate assimilation of refugees. End quote. What do you say to that?
I think President Trump is misguided. I think certainly, you know, his statements have been horrific. I think it speaks to this authoritarian regime and their hatred for immigrants and refugees. And I think we saw that when he first came in office in January 2025, when he put the executive order to suspend the U.S. refugee admissions program. And I think that and this program really led to the termination programs like the Welcoming Corps, the suspension of all refugee processing and funding, the disruption of support for those who newly arrived, and also stranded refugees as well. I mean, these were also folks that were waiting in Afghanistan, and some of our partners who assisted the United States during the war in Afghanistan. These were translators, interpreters, who were waiting to be brought to the United States, and their flights were grounded. And I think that is a horrible thing for them to do. And I think that, again, speaks to, you know, what this administration is about, is they're willing to set aside their allies who've worked with them. They're willing to stop, you know, folks from coming in because they're afraid of people who are not like them. And so I think, you know, we really need to make sure that we keep pushing for our refugee and immigrant communities. I think particularly for me, for someone who is the first refugee ever elected in Illinois history of 207 years, it's very personal to me to make sure that I am not the last refugee ever elected in Illinois history, and that we all build a country where all of us have a fair shot, and that we can be here and thrive and prosper as well.
I want to play a little bit of audio for you. This is a top White House official, Stephen Miller. He recently said that Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and other state and local officials could be subject to arrest.
So if you engage in a criminal conspiracy to obstruct the enforcement of federal immigration laws or to unlawfully order your own police officers or your own officials to try to interfere with ICE officers or even to arrest ICE officers, you're engaged in criminal activity.
How are you thinking about that possibility?
Look, you know, again, what we have done in the past with our Know Your Rights training is making sure that that folks in our neighborhoods and in our city know their rights as civilians, that they know their rights when they're interacting with ICE agents, and that they know their rights when they're recording the behavior of these ICE agents and the unlawful enforcement tactics and mechanisms that these ICE agents are using. I think certainly, again, Stephen Miller should really look at what happened with the January 6th insurrection, the ways in which he and the current president basically pardoned all these individuals who committed crimes in our country. And I think certainly a lot of those individuals who were pardoned are now part of the ICE agents and a part of the CBD patrol, right? So I think we need to also make sure that those individuals are looked at as well. So I think it is very hypocritical what Stephen Miller is saying. I think he shows a huge distrust of our immigrant and refugee community based on his racism and his xenophobia. And I think certainly we cannot have someone like that in the White House advising the president. But I think for us right now on the ground, our job remains that we have to inform our neighbors of their rights and that we inform our small businesses and our community members of their rights as well. So we know we are within the confines of the law. And we know in Illinois, it is legal that particularly because of the Illinois Trust Act, that local law enforcement agencies do not cooperate with federal ICE agents. And we know that we need to make sure that we also advocate for legislation as well that would further protect our neighborhoods and our neighbors from the overreach right now of this authoritarian regime.
We're coming to the end of our time. How well do you think Illinois and Chicago are doing at meeting the moment right now?
I think certainly Chicago has been a testing ground right now. It's been ground zero for a lot of these tactics. And I believe what's happening here is a harbinger of what's going to come for the rest of this country. And I think we need to make sure we keep staying up for our neighbors, that we do not turn away when they violate due process. And I think the last thing is we're pushing for legislation down in Springfield to make sure that we hold these individuals accountable, right? So I think making sure that we ban the mask that's being worn by these ICE agents, making sure that we require them to display clear identification of their names and their badges that will allow for us to know who they are and to enhance transparency with our communities. I think we also need to close and provide additional protections for our individuals at our hospitals, for patients, for our staff from ICE actions. I think we also need to expand protections in our schools as well and in our courthouses. And bar civil arrests by ICE and other federal agents at our courthouses. So I think there are things that we'll be fighting for down in Springfield this week in veto session to make sure that we provide additional protections for our neighbors. And I think we will continue to make sure that we get the message out in our respective neighborhoods as well by equipping people with the information that they need, by also providing them with whistles that they need, and by teaching them about the salute method and about Know Your Rights training as well.
State Representative Han Nguyen represents parts of the north side of Chicago in the General Assembly. He's also a candidate in the Democratic primary for the 9th Congressional District. Representative Nguyen, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for your time. And for more information, please visit our website at Han, H-O-A-N-F-O-R-9.com. Thank you.